Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, O Lord, be with us as we go through whatever is in front of us, and we thank you for your faithfulness as we read in the Bible. You are faithful, and we pray to be faithful to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I know I think of all the things that have gone on in history, and it is astounding how we continue to go through this and that. Now, lately there has been talk about restrictions on Bibles again, and I thought in a few minutes, 10 or 20 minutes, I'll go into that. That is going on with the Department of Treasury and what's called the FinCEN, Financial Records Division. So there are restrictions in the news, and we'll see what happens. But we know that God is faithful, and we are so thankful that we serve a wonderful, loving God. And we do go through trials, and we say, Lord, guide us, be with us, and protect us. We pray for mercy, Lord, and I know that we have trials and we have difficulties, and we see how God has moved to protect us and our families through difficulty and all sorts of things, and we thank God for answering our prayers. Jesus has been wonderful to know Jesus and have that faith and protection of us and our loved ones. And they're things that we are simply grateful for. Yes, of course, love. In many different ways. I know the Greeks have different kinds of love that they talk about. Oh, brotherly and sisterly and playful love, or possessive love, or familiar love. And these are all the different aspects of God who loves us. And we are thankful to the people in the past, like the Greeks, who have defined all sorts of words and conditions, situations. We are thankful for what our Bible tells us about as we search life and understanding. Our understandings today are more and more full, and as I think of that Daniel chapter 12 with life will get busier, knowledge will increase, and travel will be to and fro, and that's what we are doing. So many of us are going to and fro as we seek the human understanding and connection, empathy with others. We desire that, and we want to be emotionally and experientially connected to other people. It brings fullness to our life, and we are thankful for our feelings and our logic. Some of these things we read, or we go to movies to have a little emotional experience, and we like it to have a fuller sense of love and joy and sadness and the experience of life. But God brings us full experience of life, and we are thankful for the awesomeness of God. Thank you, Lord. I know we understand one thing and another, and sometime we understand love or suffering very deeply, and sometime it is simply on the surface. All was different, and sometimes just plain overwhelming. And I think of what Jesus went through on the cross, how his love for us allowed him to pay for our sins and stay on that cross. Astounding and amazing that we have a loving God, Jesus, who would do that for us, to take payment for our sins. History tells us so many things about people who are angry or who are loving, and it is a wonderful thing to be full of history, including the Bible history, how it tells about the people here and there who went through this and that, everything from sadness to slavery. And we get to experience it through movies and books and even in real life. Yeah, in a few minutes, I'm going to talk about, just the fullness of life and how things go. And there are wonderful things as we think about, the laws that are going on. And of course I think about the laws, because that's what we deal with in life. We deal with the laws of life. And part of that is what our founders understood. We have a legal system that goes back to, yes, American law, yes, of English law. And if we want a good understanding of law, we read the Black's Law Dictionary, that constantly throughout Black's Law Dictionary talks about biblical examples of justice. And it is absolutely wonderful. Our forefathers were just amazing people, and they made things to be reasonable based on biblical knowledge. You see that as you study traditional law. I think of Thomas Jefferson, who once said that the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. And it just reminds us that we have to be watchful of all the people who want to take our freedom away. And lately, we have been having another talk about Bibles being illegal because they are called extremist literature. See, there is a movement in our government to make everything good and peaceful for us citizens. But a part of that is that they want to take all extremist literature away. And they include the Bible as extremist literature. So we know that our government has protected us for so long in the past that we think they are going to continue to protect us and preserve our freedom. But I think of us just sitting quietly and getting lulled into comfort so that we allow government to do whatever they would like to do. And that, of course, reminds me of traps. When you have a trap and you're trying to catch an animal, you make it look like it is ordinary and harmless, and they don't have to be concerned about it. So I think about what is going on in our federal government, Department of Treasury, FinCEN, and the talk to make literature, extremist literature, against the law. So they are considering the Bible as extremist literature, along with other literature that really is extremist. But we have had our society deal with things like social norms and public schools and the public school curriculum and laws, and they are all meant to be comforting to us. So when we have a law that gets our attention, we still need to pay attention to what is going on. And as I just said, the FinCEN department of the Treasury Department wants to track extremist groups. And they are also doing this in cooperation with the United Nations. And they do note in their literature that there have been extremist groups in and against Russia and the United States. So we shouldn't be surprised for that to be here, should we? Oh, we should not be surprised to find Bible commentaries and Bibles and ammunition and guns are all dangerous, so they need to be tracked. Well, you get to figure out what kind of freedom we're going to have in this society. Are we normal citizens going to simply be watched over? So that remember when there were wedding cakes that had to meet a certain standard, and not be prejudiced against certain people? Well, the point is we have things that are developing, and we must stay watchful and speak up to keep our Christian freedom and our Christian responsibility fully engaged in our country, in the midst of people who want to restrain us and even take away the freedoms that we have. We do have enemies that want to conquer America, both spiritually and physically. When I think of what other countries like China and Russia and even the United Nations, they always talk about keeping people safe, and so they pass recommendations or laws to keep people safe. And we get to know or try to figure out what is going to be protecting freedom and what is going to be diminishing freedom for America. We do have to watch out that people are not too relaxed and too comfortable, that people get caught in these traps that will cause us to lose our freedom. Well, there are wars are going on all over the world, and they're going to continue to, because Matthew, Mark, and Luke all talk about wars and rumors of wars. What do you think it will lead to? It'll lead to changing laws and changing customs. And just like this regulation is in the Department of Treasury, the big banks and the corporations and intelligence agencies are going to require this and that to keep we the people safe. And I guess when we the people can't keep ourselves safe, the government will come in and help us to keep safe. There are the groups that I mentioned. Yes, corporations, yes, intelligence committees, intelligence agencies, and governments, and organizations like the World Economic Forum, and they all talk about protecting the people and making the people happy with what they have, even if it's nothing. because that was a slogan from 2016, you will own nothing and be happy. So we have people that have an idea of what is right for we, the people, and America to have, not just America, but the whole world. It is an attack on freedom, yes, in America, and yes, on the whole world. So we get to see that and understand what it is that we are going to say or do about it. And a lot of people are thinking about how to stay free and independent. So they think about what they will need to stay free and independent. And right close to the top of the list is water and food. And we kind of forget sometime about how important it is to obey God, because God is in charge of all things And if we are not being faithful to God and his laws and rules, then we could have consequences. And some would call it judgment. And things would happen to good and decent people. Well, we're reminded of what it is like to stay free. What do we need to do? Oh, I know some people say plant a garden and get supplies. Well, sure, that's a good thing to do. And we can also ask for God to bless the gardens and the trees that we have to produce good fruit. And that's something we think about all through life, whether it's just normal life and who do we deal with? What do we deal with? Do we deal with the community, the law enforcement, or churches, or the courts? See, all these things are a part of who we deal with in life. And it helps to be educated to what the traditions are and what the law is, even English law and American law. See, these are all things that affect us today. They affect our families and our schools and our courts, and it makes a difference for how we relate to the authorities and relate to people. And it certainly is important to have our moral character settled according to Bible standards. And then we get the blessings of God, because he likes things done the way he wants them done. And so we learn uniform moral clarity. I'm just thinking of John Adams, who was one of our founding fathers, and he said that our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people, and it is inadequate for any other people. So, with that logic, I just have to wonder, are we moral and religious people, and will we be able to keep our Constitution? Just a question. I'm not sure what to say about that, but it follows a certain logic. While we have a heritage, a good and godly heritage for us to follow, we still have to determine what we are going to do and how we are going to live according to God's morality or man's morality. And we get consequences either ways. Now, I think of that Department of Treasury, a financial crimes department, as what they want to track with purchases, including Bibles and Bible commentaries and gun ammunition and such as that. So, another thing that they were talking about was if there were political leanings, like were you buying Trump or MAGA? What's that called? Things that you put on a hat or you wear in a shirt. Memorabilia. So they are looking at who could be a danger to society. Of course that is good, but it certainly is something we have to be cautious about so we don't lose our freedom. Everybody has a little different way of looking at it, and somehow we talk about it and understand one another and come to agreements on what our laws are and how they are to be enforced. So many people today have one idea or the other. Thinking about that financial Department of Treasury, FinCEN, they also note that there are 7 million people who do not have a bank account, and they want everybody to have a bank account and everyone to have a number if they're going to log on to the internet so they can be identified. So we are slowly moving into a system of marking everyone so that they can participate in society, or that they can buy or sell. That is just the way it is going. And then we who are Christians and know about the 666 in the book of Revelation, we know that restrictions could soon come. And there are questions about who pays the taxes and make sure everyone pays their fair share and is responsible in society and responsible on the internet. And of course, I think of China that monitors every single citizen. And if you step out of your house, you are on camera. Some people are monitored in their homes with the recordings of the words that they say or who they associate with. So we could turn into a very different country if we are not careful. There are all sorts of things to watch after us, from our banking to our computer to Obamacare. And when you think about what the doctors are required to report on, it's just another level of restriction or monitoring all the people of the United States and the world. And I remember there was a lot of protests in every capital around the world about people who did not want to be vaccinated. And you saw them, hundreds of thousands of people protesting in the capitals around the world, saying they did not want to be required to take a vaccination. And we have to wonder, what made the difference? Did anybody really care, or did the government simply continue and say, no, you have to be vaccinated? It's a question of how much voice do any of us have. And speaking of vaccinations, there's a lot of migrants from other countries that have come into the United States, millions of them. And apparently in New York City, the recent migrants do not want to vaccinate their children. And apparently the New York schools are allowing them to not vaccinate the children. We have things going on that we don't understand. We who have been good American citizens have complied with the restrictions or the money payments, and we don't understand why the immigrants don't have the same restrictions. Well, we have a world of changing finances and how the government through the Treasury Department and the Federal Reserve, them too, they are finding ways to monitor all the people through, well, Bitcoin is one way, or the central bank digital currency is really what the movement is going towards right now. And there are plenty of people who are noticing that our financial system is in trouble because of the interest rates that there used to be and are now increasing. But the banks that bought the Federal Reserve notes, Treasury notes, are having to make up for the difference between a low interest rate and a higher interest rate, and the big banking institutions are having some trouble. In fact, there have been, $800 million? I said that wrong. It wasn't million. It was $800 billion that are in potential losses to the financial system, the banks. And this is something that's going on right now that could cause our financial system to fail, to have such a great problem. And these could bring about great inflation or a loss of purchasing power of all of us citizens. It's something that is going on right now, and we are in the midst of a changing circumstance. And if you look at history, you get an idea that it has been a common theme all along to restrict the citizens more and more. But so many people don't even recognize it because our schools, our public schools, hardly teach history anymore. People don't even know who fought in, well, let's just say the Spanish-American War. Can a student say who fought in the Spanish-American War? And they don't know that it's either the Spanish or the Americans. So it's something that we are certainly losing a lot of historical understanding and the consequences of what we do. Certainly history does not always repeat, but often it does. And if it doesn't repeat, it often rhymes. And so we get to see what has happened in the past and what makes sense to do again now. And certainly, if we studied history, we would be more understanding of what to do in the future. But so many people don't study anything about history. They just study their cell phone, their smartphone, and whatever is on that. Oh, the smartphones are smart, and they try to get all of your attention. And we understand that there are wonderful good things about smartphones, the information you can look up, or it'll tell you how to get to where you're going. Of course, the problem with that is we forget how to get where we are going without technology. We forget to have a phone number memorized. We forget our children's addresses or how to get there. Or their parents, children forget their parents' phone numbers. It's something that we are in a position where things are changing. And yeah, we would all like to know how things are going to turn out, but are we able to do something about it anymore? Because we depend on technology so much that I'm not sure what we would do if we ever had a grid-down situation. What if we could not recharge our phones? What if we could not buy gas or groceries? And all these things are now, well, they're threatened. And sometimes, in some parts of the country or some parts of the world, an electrical system will go down and then people get charged excessive amounts for the basics. Oh, like water. What would you think if you were charged $100 a month for water instead of 20 or 30? Well, the thing, that's what happens when our financial system is destabilized. The big interests, the money interests, find out way to get money. And so they charge whatever they want to get their money. That's again, that's recent history. That's gone on in South American countries and in Mediterranean countries. And we get to understand that these things happen. But it's hard to believe that we could actually have bad things happen to us. If the electricity went out, there are people who say, well, they'll just take what they need. They'll break into stores and take things. Or they will break into people's homes and take things. Oh, and that is why, oh, let's see. If you listen to the certain group of people, they say we have to be ready for groups of bandits, armed groups of bandits, to come by and steal whatever they want from our homes and the stores. They talk about how this has already happened in other countries, how there would be a knock on the door, and if you go to the door, you would be taken. And they talk about if the armed bandits don't work, they would set fire to your home. Now, that has been going on in other countries. Could it happen in America? Of course it could. It's just that right now, our systems of law enforcement and military and our court systems are all functioning. So it does not happen very often, but it certainly does happen. It's just that the mainstream media does not make it known. They don't tell you about it. But there are lots of people in the world who want to have prosperity. They want what you have. And there are people from Africa and Asia that are told, go to America and take what you need. The America is rich. And there's been the threat of war all over the world, and people think of having a rich prosperity before things get really bad in the world with war. And there are exercises to say that nuclear war will happen in Europe, in Russia, in America. And the countries have also alerted their citizens. South Korea has, well, they alerted their citizens, and they directed their 50 million citizens to the 17,000 fallout shelters in South Korea. So these things are going on, but they have not happened to you. But in the world, this is what's going on. Will it ever happen to you? Probably not, but it sure could. And there's lots of people who say it should happen to America because they don't like America. Remember the protests where they were saying to overtake Israel and then overtake America? Well, they said the small Satan and the large Satan. And so that's what some of those countries like Iran would chant over and over again. We have a world where we have troubles, and we want to have safety and justice. But if we continue bringing people who don't have the same understanding of justice and law, we will have trouble. And so much of it is spiritual oriented. We just don't see it because we don't study history. Why, who would think that let's just dictators. Fidel Castro and Che Guevara. Their mother was known to be a witch and would cast spells on people. Now, we don't know about a lot of these historical things, and we think we are protected because we are a Christian nation. Well, I think that's true, but it also means that we have to live according to Christian standards, and somehow we don't all do that. So what are the consequences that will be coming to America? Yeah, if we only knew. We don't exactly know, but we know that people in the world have a lot of difficulty to overcome. There is hunger. There is poverty. There are people who are literally eating leaves and roots in some parts of the world. So we know that things can happen and times can get bad. They can get bad with, certainly with war conditions, but also just plain simple poverty as our dollar diminishes in the world. There will be poverty in America and in other parts of the world. and I just said about the spiritual aspect of it. Spiritually, people are getting impoverished and persecuted because of their religious belief. And it happens that Christians are getting persecuted all over the world. And sure, you want to talk about Nigeria, you want to talk about Southeast Asia, sure. And let's talk about America while we are at it, because people are getting persecuted one way or another. Now, more people are not getting martyred in America, but they are in other parts of the world, like Indonesia, even India, or some other countries. People are literally getting martyred for their belief in Christ. So here we go, and I think about those Christians on the beach beheaded. I can't remember who they were, but that happened out by Egypt way. Well, when we go through the world, we do see all sorts of countries with all sorts of injustices. Now, you think about what goes on in Asia, injustice, yes, but it's also coming to Eastern countries to Western countries, and it's going on in England and America, where people are speaking up for Christ and getting persecuted. That is going on. And look at the United States and see how much United States needs missionaries. Now, America has sent out many missionaries to the world, and there are countries that are sending teams of missionaries to the United States. Thank you, Lord. We surely need Jesus, and if we have more people who live for Jesus, we will have more friends, and that's something that I hope we all do. Recognize how our world needs Jesus, and our country needs Jesus. And think about our family and friends who need Jesus also. And then remember, you can do something while you're alive to encourage understanding of Jesus and why we believe in Jesus as our faith in God. So this is something you can do now while you are alive, and you can speak to the people around you. You can speak to the people you know and love and remind them about how important it is to follow Jesus. Yes, in this life, and yes, so that they go to heaven and not hell. There's lots of things going on, spiritual troubles and physical troubles, and yeah, the way I see it, they are connected. But look around the world and search out what is going on in the economy, in the politics, in everything that gets mixed up together for all the different power struggles in the world around us. There is trouble, and we don't want to have the troubles or the wars or the famine or the diseases. And so we try to show our love for other people. That's what we do. And there is Christian love and there is worldly love. Now, the worldly love might say, oh, we pay for a World Health Organization through the United Nations. And by the way, the other things they want to do is to have a health passport required maybe to go into a store, maybe to travel. So there is one thing and another that the worldly people who express care and compassion for people, they understand it differently than we Christian people. And it's just a part of what we deal with in life. because we have an understanding of what those spiritual forces are. We understand that there will be a coming world system. A lot of people call it the mark of the beast. A lot of people call it 666. And that is something that, that I said a little earlier. It's going on right now to get us closer and closer to that system. And a part of it is, as I said, the U.S. Department of Treasury with the FinCEN division that is requesting banks and credit card companies to report on who is buying extremist literature like Bibles and Bible commentaries. Oh, and who is buying guns and ammunition too, or certain survival supplies. You know, there is reason that they have logic to what they're doing. It's not that they don't, but it's something that we all have to look into to make sure that the basis of our what we do in life is God-oriented and not fear-oriented. And fear is one of the things that is presented so quickly and easily to persuade us to be controlled under the system of control that the government wants. Now, this has been going on forever. You could say government wants it. You could say the bad of the world wants it, because it is the bad of the world who wants to control you and have everything, laws that control you. And I think of that 1968 Gun Control Act in the United States. That is word for word the same as the 1938 Nazi Germany Gun Control Act. And we just don't see the connections because we don't study very much. But research it. You will find it is word for word the same. And this is a part of both fear and control that the system wants to catch you up in, so that you will allow somebody else, a government or a belief system, to determine what you are going to do. Now, that's going on right now in some countries of the world, the communist countries. And now it's getting more and more in the United States of America. Well, we have distractions going on that are intended to move us towards the goal of being controlled. So what are we going to do about it? Well, first, we have to be aware of it and be aware that there are forces that want to eliminate our Bible. Yes, I'll just say our Bible and our guns, yeah. And that's something which is a legitimate concern because of the people who abuse all literature, not just Bible, but all literature can be abused, just like all guns can be abused. And it's something which we are having the consequences from, as the people all around are having concerns. And that's why they are talking about having food and shelter. They're having concerns with food and shelter and just being able to live if our systems break down. It certainly is possible. And we just have to be aware about what it is we are facing. Every country in the world is facing something to restrict them. They can use your safety as one factor, and they can use the Bible as another factor and say, look what is coming, Matthew chapter 24, or Mark 13, Luke 21, they all talk about the things that are going to be coming upon the earth. And it's something which is a real and legitimate concern about if there are famines and pestilences, wars and rumors of war. what are we going to do to stay alive when, oh, let's just say the grid goes down or there's a massive earthquake across America or across the world. And you know there are more and more earthquakes that are showing themselves. Some are small, some are large, some kill a lot of people, and some not so many. But America has been having more and more earthquakes around the edges of the country. So we want to see what we can see about preparing for hard times. Yes, with pestilence, yes, with earthquakes, yes, with shortages caused by war conditions. And then we just do whatever we can understand, because shortages are sure to happen in any of those situations. Famine, pestilence, and war, that just brings shortages. And so you might want to have a few things handy, as presumably, violence would also be a factor, and that's something which we can look at to see what could happen. And a lot of people are now saying even surprises could happen in the world at the end of days, just like they did in Noah's time before the flood came. Yes, people were eating and drinking and marrying, and they didn't think about how tragedy could come upon their whole civilization. But it did. Today we could have tragedy coming upon our whole civilization too. And we can only guess at what that is. Will it be an AI situation? Will it be an electrical outage? A grid down? Or could it even be giants and demons? I mean, look, it happened once. It could happen again. It's not that I know that it either will or will not happen. No, I don't know. But I do know that there's a lot of people who are intelligent people, like Chuck Missler. And they talk about things like, oh, DNA being corrupted or giants in the land. They do talk about this. And it's not that they advocate it, but they certainly say it could be coming. It's just another reason that I see for us to be prepared for the just in case. What if we had another health pandemic? Then we would want to have some supplies. There's just too many things that could threaten our civilization, our country, our whole world. And by the way, that is being talked about by, well, really a growing number of people. And you can look at the, I don't know, I think of the Deagle.com website that say that by 2025, that there will be massive declines in the world's population. Do I know? No, I don't know, but I know it could be. And I know there's reason for it. And I know the dark side, like the Georgia Guidestone, talks about having a world population greatly reduced. And that is the way that the world population should be. So, nope, don't know. I don't know. But I know there are people who talk about it and who warn us about it. And what does that mean? Again, not really sure. But we know the potentials. We know there are potentials for discord in our country. Oh, sure, call it violence if you want. But it's people who are not happy and are going to take what they need so that they can live. But there's some things we can do to protect ourselves in small ways. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to have that basic elements of preparedness: water, food, and warmth. And that way we would be able to withstand a grid down for a few days, or if a water main burst, or if there was an earthquake and all services were not available for, what, days, weeks, months? Yeah, it would be weeks or months In fact, month is very likely. But there's the things that we can understand, how an earthquake could happen and our physical services might be disrupted. But there are also our money services that could be disrupted. And I know that financial author Jim Rickards talked about how our banking system is threatened by the money policy of the Federal Reserve, and how there are many underwater bonds that are now in existence. And what are we going to do? Because he says that the risk management in banks is so poor that we are in danger of having a system with uncertainty. And that uncertainty will lead to monetary problems. As stocks lose value and all the institutions and people lose assets. So those are things that we are warned about. It's not for sure that they will happen, but they have been right in the past, and we better watch out. And I think a big part of that watching out is to have some supplies on hand, and that means water, food, and warmth. Start with warm clothes, and then have your home secure. Have some hand tools for dealing with whatever needs to be dealt with in your home. As I'll say it again, we have earthquakes going on around the world, around America. Are they big? Are they little? Both. And so it is something that is just plain a concern. And so let's get that prepared for this and that, because those experts tell us that one day the Cascadia and the San Andreas and the New Madrid earthquakes are just going to get loose. And so if they have that big earthquake that the experts are expecting, we are going to be in a very sad shape. The deliveries of gasoline and food and all our normal things that we would get at the hardware store, they're not going to be available. So have food, have water, have warmth on hand. And when I say food, it includes a way to cook your food. Because if the water and the electricity and the natural gas lines break, we're not going to be able to do very much. And it would break down society very greatly. And we really would be searching for water and food and warmth, and breaks in our society would happen, breakdowns, and we would still want to be able to help other people with what we have. We often think about our family, and so we want to help our family, our Christian family, our neighbors, our city. There are a lot of people who would need help, and if we have nothing to help other people, well, we at least would be sad, and we would say, we're going to do better next time. But now is the next time that you can deal with. You can deal with having a few things that are going to help other people, your family, your friends, your neighbors, and even the people that you don't know in your community. It is a wonderful thing to be able to help people. But if you have nothing, you're not going to be able to help very many people. So think about what you can do to have a supply of, well, the easiest food is rice and beans. So have that. Have some flavors. Have some cooking oil. flavors are important, even if it's salt and pepper. But think of all the flavors that you put into food right now. Have some extra, whatever it is, onions, garlic. There's lots of things that you can have to add flavor to plain old rice. So by all means, think about that which you would like to have as a matter of normal life. And yes, for the just in case, because if you are hungry, sugar and salt and oil are really great things to have. You can, some of that you will want for your rice or your wheat or whatever it is. I say get grains and a grain grinder so that you can cook bread, bake bread. It's really a good idea. So I'm thankful that we have as much prosperity as we have everywhere in our land. Have some of your supplies for the just in case, and give God thanks and praise for all that He has given us. And let us be faithful to God, Jesus Christ. You can listen to any broadcast again by going to www.christtoday.org. And thank you for listening today. God bless you, and may you do wonderful work on this earth that Jesus would have you to do. Amen.
Christ Today is a listener-supported ministry. Send your checks or donations to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, that's John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927.